Start with verse 15. He says, "Now ye Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. For even in Thessalonica ye sent once and again into my necessity, not because I desire a gift." Notice this, "but I desire fruit that may abound to your account." Yeah. Lord, thank you for the word. Thank you for the testimony we've heard from the reasoners tonight. And Lord, it's a great work we have been called to. Regardless whether it's in Bellingham or in Russia or in Montana or wherever, Lord, we just thank you that we can be used of you. Now, Lord, I pray that you'd help us put all other things outside, eliminate distractions, and Lord, help us to be focused on the word tonight. And again, give me that unction from the Holy Spirit, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Something familiar here in Washington. I guess this is a Washington apple. Yeah, I think it is. But fruit. Isn't fruit a blessing? I mean, it's sweet, but it's natural sweet. It's something you can actually eat that's good for you that's sweet. It's a naturally enjoyable food. Yeah. There's all kinds of fruit around the world that are just incredible. And it needs no condiments to embellish it. It has an enjoyable flavor regardless. Whether it's peaches, apples. We raise a lot of sweet cherries in our area. Bananas. My son-in-law and daughter, when they were in Fiji, they had banana trees on their at their house. Big old mango trees that go out, and they had apple mangoes, and oh, just wonderful. I just love fruit. They had some other things that you never even heard of, but they had guava. Oh, just wonderful. It's in the Bible. There was grapes and dates and figs and pomegranates, and it's not just food. It's fruit.
Yeah.
So when we think of fruit, we think of, should I say, a rewarding product that's had some special care and sacrifice to get it to this point. When you think about what God does with what we can do, just bear with me. God grows what we plant, and then he develops it. We then do the work of caring for it after it gets to a certain point. In 2 Corinthians 9:10, Paul said this, "Now he that ministereth seed to the sower, both minister bread for your food, and multiply your seed sown, and increase the fruits of your righteousness." Let me say this, it's not the blessings in giving as to why we give. Missions and soul winning both can best be described as, simply put, caring for people.
Yeah.
The reasoners showed a bunch of pictures of people. That's really what it's about. Ministry is about people. Bible said when Jesus saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion. Now, a fruit tree takes some care. I had some beautiful fruit trees when I was in Washington, and I had a dog I wanted to kill because it went out and destroyed these beautiful fruit trees I had. But, you know, fruit trees take care. You got to water them. And people take care. You water them with the word.
Right.
You have to spray fruit trees to keep the diseases and the bugs off of them. And people takes watching, caring, prayer, testimony. There's probably someone tonight you're thinking of, you've been witnessing to. It takes time and sacrifice, doesn't it? It takes time and sacrifice on the mission field too. It's a fruit that takes special care, but it's wonderful when you get the product.
Right.
Takes feeding and fertilizing it. Takes supplying funds to make it effective. It's not cheap. It takes work and effort and funds. And so this is where missions and the responsibility comes in. You know, there's differing blessings from fruit that you can't describe. Hebrews 4:12, one we're probably mostly familiar with, says, "For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even the dividing asunder of soul and of the spirit, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart." You know, the word of God, that's what missions is about, getting the word of God to people. That's what's going to pierce. That's what pierces us. That's why foolishness of preaching, you'd say, then they'll believe.
Yeah.
I mean, daughter and son-in-law, when they were in Fiji, there was a Bible project that they got involved with. I don't know if you guys,
You
did. And it was interesting how it came about. A guy from BIMI was there, and there's some missionary friends of my kids that are in Fiji that are BIMI missionaries. He was there, and he was at a resort, and this entourage, this guy come by with, and they said, "Who's that?" "That's the prime minister." And so he met the prime minister and introduced himself, and in process of time, the guy cared about things of God, and he set up a system where they could, if you guys bring Bibles over here, I'll make it a law that every school has to allow you not only to give out Bibles, but to preach to every school. And that included not only public schools, that included the Muslim schools, the Catholic schools, the Hindu schools. And I got to go over there and experience a few of those schools. And he was talking about Bibles this morning. And I remember the principal, we went and gave him a Bible, and he was in tears. He says, "I've always wanted one of these." I mean, that was the principal. And they'd stop school. They'd stop school because there'd be a letter from the prime minister, and they'd bring in, and we'd preach to them. Preach to the kids twice. We'd preach two different messages. One in, depending on what they were, if it was in Hindi, or we'd preach one in English, and then either in Hindi or in Fijian. Incredible. And I remember one of the greatest stories of the whole thing was they went to this Hindu high school, about 1,200 kids. And they have open-air assembly places because it's Fiji, it's where it's warm. The classrooms are in, but the assembly area is open-air, and it was raining. And the principal said, "I don't know how we're going to do this with the rain." And so the preacher stopped and said, "We're just going to stop and pray that God had stopped the rain." And so they prayed, and the rain stopped, and they went ahead and preached. And later in town, Brother Brooks was in town, and this Hindu lady comes up with the big red thing on her head, you know, and comes up and taps him on the chest, and he says, "Your God's the real God. He stopped the rain."
Wow.
You know, so I'm saying the Bible is a powerful instrument that makes an impact on people's lives.
Yeah.
Isn't it your desire that we get the word out to the world?
Yeah.
You get it out to Bellingham, Washington State, the U.S., and around the world? Isn't the limitations of fruit being produced according to how much is invested and how much seed is sown?
Yeah.
Is that not true?
Yeah.
Now listen to me, there's different types of fruit. And, of course, we're thinking in literal fruit, but in spiritual fruit, there's different types. So we're going to get some things, some basics here about faith promise. I think it'll help you tonight. There's direct fruit. You plant the seed, you lead them to Christ, and you train them. That's what you're doing right here. Amen? That's direct fruit. There's also secondary fruit. Those you lead to Christ, then they lead someone else to Christ. And isn't that cool? Yeah. There's also indirect fruit. That's where you send others to plant the seed, to lead them to Christ, and to train them. That's missions.
Amen.
That's what Paul says in verse 17. Not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account.
Amen.
So they were sending money to Paul that they could get the benefits of what Paul was doing in witnessing to those folk. And so there's different kinds of fruit. And I don't know about you, but I like all kinds of fruit. I want to see fruit.
Amen.
And the blessing of the reward of seeing the fruit.
Yeah.
And so that comes to this thing of the multiplication of fruit bearing. He says, I desire fruit that may abound to your account. Now, if you know the Lord, you desire fruit. Don't you want to make a difference in this world?
Amen.
Yes. I mean, you get saved. You really get saved. You want to make a difference. You want to bear fruit. Every believer desires to bear fruit. It's kind of like women in shopping, men in hunting, and teenagers in driving. I mean, you just desire those things naturally. You with me? Okay. It's in our blood. Okay. As a Christian, it's in our blood to bear fruit.
Amen.
We got to do it or you get depressed.
Wow.
You get down. The church gets, I mean, you want to see people get saved. I've always said Jeremiah was the greatest of the prophets. He preached his whole life and saw no one get saved.
Yeah.
That had to be very difficult.
Wow.
I want to see fruit.
Yeah.
Any believer who doesn't want to bear fruit lives in doubt about his own spiritual life because God made us to be that way. Isn't it true when someone gets saved in church, the whole character and atmosphere in the church just becomes electric?
Amen.
It's because we desire to see fruit. Therefore, the question comes, how can we abound in this thing? I don't think a farmer ever goes into his orchard and says, there's just too much fruit here. We're just going to have to cut these trees down.
Yeah.
Right? Right? Yeah. And so he wants multiplication. The more trees, the more fruit.
Right.
And as Paul says, we want to multiply your seed sown and increase the fruits of your righteousness. So how do you do that? So how do you reap multiple fruit? Then we have to plant and grow in multiple areas. Go soul winning. When church goes soul winning, go soul winning. Church, even if the church is not going soul winning, go soul winning.
Amen.
Pass out tracts everywhere you go. Have them ready. Amen. Witness wherever you're at. Train others. Invite people to church. And yes, what this week's about, get involved with worldwide missions. Bellingham's not all there is. There's a whole world out there. See, many missionaries have a call, but they need a means to get there. Like Brother Joel said, he can't work a job there. He depends on those checks. That's right, from the churches back home that said they were going to support him.
Right.
He said, Paul said here, ye did communicate with me. Verse 14, you did communicate with my affliction. Often the fruit will return to us in a unique way. When I was in La Huerta, Mexico, I talked about this morning. We were ordained, you know, went there to, the church was ordaining, but we were there to be the council. And we had this 15-passenger van. We landed in Puerto Vallarta and drove to different churches for a whole week there. But we were up in these mountains, and we had a 15-passenger van. So this church this up in the mountains, little burg up there, La Huerta. Anybody know where La Huerta, Jalisco, Mexico is? Okay. You do? You've been there. You've been to that church. Well, anyway, so they took the 15-passenger van. We're going to have an ordination service. This is because the 15 pastor ran into town and had two loads of people coming in. And so I got to preach. Brother Jose Ramos preached. Had 18 people get saved in an ordination service. It was awesome. Now, get this. Afterwards, there were some testimonies after the ordination service. This one couple stood up. And the lady said, "Our family's here, but we live in Phoenix, Arizona." And so they could go back. And we told them about Brother Randolph's church there in Phoenix. And they were going to go back to Brother Randolph's church. Now, that was incredible. So how would you know you're going to go to Mexico to reach someone back in the States? And so sometimes the fruit will return in unique ways. But both the giver and the missionary receive a reward in this way. Yeah. See, Faith Promise Missions, if you've never been involved with it, it's a great opportunity. Monies, think about this, that were sent to Paul from Philippi were not spur of the moment, but they were a regular, steady, and faithful supply to the needs on the mission field. Notice what he says in verse 15. "You Philippians know that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. For even in Thessalonica, ye sent once and what? Again to my needs, my necessities." That's faithful giving. They had Faith Promise Missions then. They didn't call it that. But it doesn't matter. They developed a plan, a faithful, planned out, organized giving to the missionary. Whether you do it on a weekly basis or a monthly basis, your card, does it have weekly and monthly both on it? Okay, yeah. But it's a plotted thing by faith. You're stepping out, and I'm going to give this much by the grace of God. The Lord laid it on my heart, so I'm going to do this. And you don't sign it. He don't want your signature. It's between you and God. But he said, "Well, how can we fill it out then?" So the church can have an idea how much is coming in. Amen?
Yeah. Yeah.
But the church practiced then Faith Promise Missions long before it was named and organized. The key word in your faith promise is the word faithful. Just do it. I mean, listen to me. I've always had, praise God, I had godly parents. My dad wasn't a preacher, but a lot of preachers thought he was a preacher. He was so faithful and just dedicated. He'd go to fellowship meetings, take us. But my dad, I remember the first time he got in Faith Promise, I was saved in an old American Baptist church in Clearwater, Kansas. The preacher there was a real soul winner, but if you know anything about the American Baptist Convention, the deacons run the church. And there were so many new people getting saved in the church, they fired him. And so he told us about an independent Baptist church in Wichita, 16 miles away. And we went up there. And that first year, we went to a Faith Promise Missions Conference. And my dad was so excited. He started, there was one from Alaska, Brother Swires. This goes way back. You remember Brother Swires? Yeah. And my dad was going home and getting things to give the missionary. And he was so pumped. He says, "I've always heard about missionaries, but I never met one." I mean, it's incredible. You get to meet a missionary. I remember, in the old convention churches, you always hear about missions, but you never saw one. But it's great to meet real missionaries. They aren't weird people. I mean, when you don't get to meet them, you had all these visions of these things must be distorted or weird, you know. But when you get to meet him, that's what happened with my dad, and it just excited him so much. He could actually give into their necessity. He knew who it was, and he could pray for him. So I want you to think about this. When we start thinking about missions, there are more Baptist churches in Texas than there are in the rest of the world. So how do we reach these people? You just simply, by the grace of God, set aside a designated amount over and above your tithe for missions. If you've never done it, you see, you're scared to death. But like I said this morning, it's that step of faith. And God will bless you. I always tell people, tithing's basic. And maybe you just haven't been saved long and tithing was a big step of faith for you at that time. But God is growing you.
Right.
And he's helping to help you grow. And that next step of faith above that is going to, you're going to begin to experience things with God like you never dreamed possible. I remember an older man in our church that they moved from New York. He was a farmer and a heavy equipment operator in New York, upstate New York. Our valley gets people from around the country. They'll come visit Glacier National Park, and I'm going to move here, so they moved. So anyway, they retired, moved there, and he got saved, and his wife was already saved. He got baptized, and shortly thereafter, my treasurer came up and said, that John, he just give a big go back. He'd called me the night before and said, "I got a tithe, a pretty good tithe. I wanted to know how do I designate?" I said, "No, you just give it a general fund, and it's for the Lord. Just give it to the Lord, you know, and you tithe." And so, you know, new Christians, you think a big tithe is $50, you know. Anyway, so the next morning, the treasurer comes up to me and says, "That guy just threw $18,000 in the offering." And he'd sold his house, you know, so he was tithing on it. And that was the first step of faith. And then he got in Faith Promise Missions. I'm just saying, tithing is the basics. But it is a challenge when you first get saved. But now God's moving you to greater things. And listen to me, Faith Promise encourages unity in the church because you'll find working together you can accomplish so much more.
Yeah.
Think of, this is interesting. If 40 people give 50 a week, that's $104,000 a year.
Amen.
Wow.
Oh, yeah.
That's amazing, isn't it?
Right.
That's what a church is about. We work together. There's something that you begin to experience God personally and united as a church. But understand that fruit is unique because it's a living organism. When your missionaries send missionaries, you're supposed to have Brother Matheny here, I know. And Brother Gary's a good friend. When he went to Washington and started a church in over in Paulsbo, we were in Longview, and we'd have contests with each other's church, and so we became good friends. And Gary, when he went to Romania, and God was blessing him, and he had this family that this guy got saved. He was from Africa. There was a segment of these Africans there, and the African got saved, and he felt called to preach, to go back to his people. And Gary said, no, we need you here. The mission field's important here. And he said, he got home that night and the Lord just started chewing on him, you know. And he said, the guy kept coming back. He says, "I just know God wants me to go back to his people." And so he said, and Lord chewed on him and he said, you're right. And so they sent them out of their churches from Romania to Africa, to a nation that we couldn't send missionaries to. And we, and you have supported him. You got involved in that blessing of I mean, missionaries sending missionaries.
Yeah.
And we did, Scott Ellis, we supported years ago in Belarus, and he had the same thing. Another nation in Africa, he had people in Belarus that got saved, went back, and even to this day, Brother Scott goes back there every summer to instruct the pastors. There's four or five churches that have been started out of those churches in Belarus that sent those missionaries back to Africa.
Yeah.
So listen to me. You don't know. When you get to heaven, you're going to meet people you had no idea. Who are these? They were because of your mission money sent to them.
Yeah.
And their missions money sent those missionaries. I mean, in multiplication, I love it. It's a living organism, and it's where many miss the point in fruit bearing. He said, it's to your account. God's keeping records, and he keeps perfect records.
Amen.
You know, let's put it this way. There was King David and King Saul. One had service for the nation, but the other had service for the Lord. You hear me? King Saul served for the nation. David served for the Lord and as a shepherd with the people, and God blessed the nation. See, Paul here doesn't care about the credit here. He's been working his tail, no doubt about it. But it's not his account, but to their account, to encourage them in their service for God. See, faith promise helps direct our service where it belongs, to God.
Amen.
Both in soul winning and in missions, we are not trying to build a church. God builds his church.
Amen.
Yeah, never forget that. I need to be reminded of that a lot of times in the ministry. Get frustrated about things. Oh, wait a minute, it's God's church. I'm just to go bear fruit.
Right.
If we all get that point, we won't get discouraged about other things. We'll keep our focus where it needs to be. The Bible says God set the members, every one of them, as it pleased him. So it's God's church. We're simply trying to bear fruit for the glory of God. And money, dollar bill, piece of paper, there's nothing alive about this dollar bill. But when it's invested with the Lord, like fruit, it becomes living. Think about that. Say, what do you mean? Money becomes alive when it's given to the Lord. He says it's an odor of sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. And Paul says, I have all and abound because of money? Yeah, it has become, it has taken on life. It turned from dead, lifeless paper, as it were, to many new lives in Jesus Christ. And you think of money, the Bible describes it as the root of all evil. Right?
Yeah.
There in Timothy, it's the root of all evil. But the root of all evil now turns to life for God when you give it to God. It's a process from us to the missionary to the soul saved to heaven rejoicing. Now let me ask you this. How much fruit do you think could be gathered to your account? A single piece of fruit? A bushel? A truckload? I'm going to kind of wrap this up. When I was a child, it goes back living in Clearwater, I was at Vacation Bible School. And the beginning of the Vacation Bible School, the teacher said, all the money this week that's given is going to be given to the missionary. And I wanted to do something for the missionary. And so I didn't, you know, I'm a kid. I don't know if I was 9, something like that. And we, behind our house was the city park where they had all the baseball games for the summer. And I was always the entrepreneur. Of course, money burned a hole in my pocket anyway. And so I'd get Kool-Aid. Mom would make Kool-Aid, and I'd take my wagon and go along out in the park along the cars and the people in the stands and sell Kool-Aid. And I'd sell it for 2 cents a glass. It's been a few years ago. And at best, I'd make 10 cents. I mean, who wants to buy Kool-Aid from some kid, you know, a snot-nosed kid? And so I told my mom that night, and when I got home from Bible school that day, and I said, I want to earn money. We're going to give it to the missionary. She says, well, why don't you go sell Kool-Aid in the park? I mean, tonight for the baseball game. I go, Mom, I never make any money. She says, well, what else can you do? So I said, okay. This was the best thing to teach me and help my life. I made $1.55 that night. I could not get enough Kool-Aid. I'd empty the wagon. I'd run back home. Mom, make more. I'd go back selling Kool-Aid to people and give it to the mission. I was so excited that God was using me.
Wow.
And listen to me, I don't care whether you're an adult tonight or a child or a teenager. God can use you if you give to the Lord, surrender to Him. I mean, vision. We've got to get without a vision, the people perish. My eyes, as I get older, I have to use glasses for smaller print. No matter how I try, but glasses clarify all that is foggy. We need God-prescribed glasses so we can see the need of this world.
Amen.
The Bible says, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." And with the word of God, it can light the way. If you'll just listen to what the Bible says here tonight about sacrificing for this important thing of bearing fruit.
Amen.
Let's bow our heads in prayer.